Side honor them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, October the 14th, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks. Not when we have enemies that are dedicated 666% to our destruction, because if they're doing well, what that means is they are succeeding in what they have set themselves out to do in wiping us out, folks. As we say often on this program, the Gentiles are the most endangered species on the planet. Okay. This enemy has been seeking our destruction since the days of Cain and Abel, folks. I know you, all of you who follow what we do here on this program and on the website, know that I am not a friend of the Torah, a friend of the Old Testament. I think that it is, for the most part, just a recipe book for how these enemies have decided that they are going to destroy us. But nevertheless, there are things to be learned from it. One of which is how they tell these, how they mask, how they speak in code about things that have happened in the past. And one of those things was the story, how much truth is to it, I don't know, of the manner in which Cain murdered Abel and lured him out into the field because he was jealous, because he was envious, because Abel was a righteous and an upright person and Cain wasn't. Lured him out into the field, gained his trust. That's very important, folks. A very important aspect to understand about this entire thing is that he gained his trust and he took him someplace where there were no witnesses so that he could do this thing. And then later, as the story goes, when he was confronted by this, he denied it. He said, "Of course not. I would not do something like this." And you know, me drawing a parallel, folks, or a straight line between these people and what we are facing today, is not my idea, folks. It actually came from one of the curses that Jesus leveled at the Pharisees, at the Jews, when he said, he told them that he was going to send wise men and teachers to them, and that these wise men and teachers would be persecuted, they would be flogged, they would be killed. And Jesus said, "And so upon you will come all of the righteous blood that has been shed," going all the way back to the righteous Abel. So he is in effect, folks, saying that the enemies of his day were the first murderers. And this would only make sense given the fact that Jesus did indeed describe them as children of their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. Anyway, folks, it's good to be here and it's good to have all of you here with us. Lots to talk about, and some of it good, but a lot of it not good, folks, because as much as there, obviously there's plenty of celebrating going on in the Middle East, especially in Gaza and in the West Bank. But folks, we have to be brutally honest here in saying that what has just happened here is has lit a fuse on an apocalyptic bomb that is going to, barring some miracle, which of course is always a possibility, this apocalyptic piece of explosive ordnance, when it goes off, it's going to go off in ways that we've never seen before. Because the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, has just done something that, at least as of this moment, runs in complete contradiction to what his enemies, making up the International Synagogue of Satan, that's ISOS, folks, not ISIS. ISIS, they're a bunch of pansies, folks. They, you know, these guys are nothing. Okay, the real terrorists that we have to really worry about is ISOS, the International Synagogue of Satan. And, you know, this is very important as well, folks, for those of you out there who carry on conversations and debates with family members and friends, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, about the nature of the problems that we face in the world right now. And especially, folks, if you're dealing with anybody who spends a lot of time in church, okay, and they are really into their Bible and they're really into their book of Revelations, but they listen to the likes of, I don't know, who's the latest Islamophobe out there? You know, you would think, folks, that with as much time as these types spend reading the book of Revelations, otherwise known as the book of the Apocalypse, that they would notice that the Muslims, the followers of Islam, Muhammad, these people are not mentioned one time, but multiple times, folks, in this book dealing with the end of the world and this battle of good and evil. It is mentioned, the synagogue of Satan. Okay, and there's no mistaking the significance of the word synagogue. You know, there are all sorts of churches. Of course, mosques are particular to Islam, and synagogues are particular to the Jews, folks. So when you have these discussions with friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, and they just won't budge on this issue that the Jews are God's chosen people and that we live in this Judeo-Christian civilization, and I will bless those who bless thee and all of the rest of that. Remember, folks, Jesus Christ, who is credited with at least having inspired that final book in the Bible, he didn't spend any time warning about the Muslims, warning about this future individual named Muhammad who's going to take over the world. He warned about the Jews. Anyway, folks, as I said, the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, has just done something that hasn't been done in 2,000 years. And I say that literally, folks, because the last time that something like this took place was when the Romans went in order to install order in what was the very disorderly province of Judea. It was part of what would eventually become a 200-year war in putting down these rebellions. And, of course, this is what unleashed the Jewish problem upon the world, at least as we've known it in the modern age. This is what led to the wandering Jew and, you know, the Jews being forced to live among the Gentiles and where they were persecuted and holocausted and all the rest of that. Donald Trump has just done a similar maneuver in his own way, folks, by forcing the Jews into this peace deal where they now are being forced to at least pull back their troops from Gaza, allow humanitarian aid in. And he has just secured this agreement amongst the most powerful Islamic countries in the world in order to reshape the Middle East. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you up front and saying I did not watch the speech that he gave at the Knesset, and thank God nothing happened, okay? Those of us who know how the modern world works these days, and particularly the way in which the Jews function, had real reason to worry whether or not Trump was going to be JFK'd while he was there. Because, folks, right now he is hated more than Jesus Christ has been hated by these people for the last 2,000 years. No, don't worry. They'll go back to hating Jesus. It's not that they have stopped. It's just that right now their fury, their burning fury is with Donald Trump, because he now has thrown a wrench into their plans for this entire greater Israel thing. Now, as I said, I did not watch the speech. I read portions of it. What I did get, though, folks, was emails from people who did watch it. And they were, there was no mistaking the mood of the messages that I got, of disgust, the fact that the president was there fawning all over these people, and that it was just this big spectacle of, you know, ostensibly the most powerful man in the world saying such nice things about these people who are, for all intents and purposes, religious terrorists. And folks, what else would we expect? Okay, I'm asking this both rhetorically and literally. What, for those of you out there who are disgusted and shocked at how seemingly over the top all of this was, what did you expect he was going to do? Did you expect that he was going to go there and tell them what horrible people they are and killed all of these innocent people and all of the rest of that? Of course not, folks. Okay, he can't do that. Not if he wants to move forward with his plans of pulling this lit fuse out of World War III and Armageddon. Okay, you know, he has to, there has to be some degree of showmanship and some degree of deception, folks. Let's just be honest about it. And as much as it was deceptive on his part, believe me, folks, he did not want to be forced to say the things that he was forced to say. This is the same man who just a few years ago in an interview with Israeli journalist Barak Ravid used the F word in talking about Benjamin Netanyahu. After October the 7th, President Trump was talking about how this was Netanyahu's fault and how he should be impeached. And he has said other things too. So him getting up there and giving this speech in front of all of these Jews, grinning and clapping their hands, which was a performance in and of itself, folks. Believe me, this was not reflective of how he really felt. He had to do this in order to get this deal, in order to get the guns to fall silent, in order to get the bombs to stop dropping. Okay. He still is constrained, folks. He's constrained by, you know, a very powerful Christian Zionist lobby here in America. And quite frankly, folks, you know, as I think we mentioned in an Ed note, no, I'm sorry, it was a commentary on a comment that had been left on the website. Look, the president of the United States, supposedly the most powerful man in the world, who has total legal control over the armed forces of the United States as commander in chief, and who has within his complete legal authority the right to send National Guard troops to cities in order to deal with the crime problem. He can't even do that without some judge that answers to Netanyahu or to AIPAC or some other group, without some judge issuing a ruling or an injunction saying, no, the president can't do this. So if he cannot operate domestically the way that he it should be easy for him to do, why would anybody think that he could operate in the way that he would like to when it comes to dealing with Israel and with this World War III and Armageddon that they have been plotting now for the last 3,000 years? Okay. So anyway, folks, that's just a small taste of what we're going to be talking about here today. And I did say we in the plural sense, because we are joined once again by our good friend Stas, great human being, a great American, overall credit to all Gentile civilization And we're going to be talking about that. Stas, what do you have to add to the commentary that I just gave concerning the president's trip to the Middle East, the speech before the stinking Knesset, and his ability to speak his mind freely and to exercise his own First Amendment rights to free speech?
It is amazing that Trump has got something going. The ball is rolling. The phrase I like to use, boxed in, jammed up. He, for the moment, has got Bibi Netanyahu boxed in, jammed up. He's got the hostages coming home, and the entire state of Israel has to pretend they're happy over that. And it, you know, and it's a step forward. The people I see praising the Trump are the pro-Israel MAGA people. Some of the anti-Israel MAGA people are like, no, it's a trick. He's 100% top down controlled by Miriam Adelson.
Mm-hmm.
He has to bow to her. It's funny that they say that when they don't tell about the hundreds and hundreds of billionaires that are around that. It's just Miriam, apparently, but that's the formula they go with. And the lead people that are on your platforms like YouTube are the Gray Zone, Due Dissonance, a couple of Jewish guys, I think they're comedians or something, Jemmy Dore, and those people. Sometimes they're pretty good, but a lot of times they just sort of collapse. So a recent Judging Freedom episode yesterday is like, how soon will the IDF attack Gaza? Presuming they will, but I mean,
which they probably will. Let's just be honest. Yeah, let's just be honest about it, folks. Just so that you understand, I'm presuming to speak for my friend here. We don't think that the peace is going to hold. Okay, the Jews are not going to be dissuaded from doing what they have been planning on doing, whether it's Trump or whatever. They're going to do something to blow this up. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Stas.
Yes. So he's delayed the Israelis from, you know, right now, and it's looking good. I think he's even gotten praise from former Presidents Biden and Clinton. They were like, oh, yeah. I mean, they are evil or whatever, but they're probably like, oh, crap, he got something pretty good.
Well, they're backed into a corner. They have to. They have to do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would have done the same thing had they had the guts to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's awesome. I think it's a miracle that he got anything.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I'm noticing now, of course, Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, the extremists, the Kahanist type guys. Of course, they're angry either way. Peace deal or no peace deal, they are not happy unless there's some Barack Goldstein type of killing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the way they are. Which makes me wonder. I don't know, but you think about this. This is what I've been thinking lately. I mean, you know, probably they're thinking of scenarios of getting rid of both Netanyahu and Trump.
Yes.
And blaming it on, you know, the Middle East peoples.
Absolutely.
The Middle East.
Yeah.
And I say that kind of, I'm being too detailed now, but always everybody in America forgets there's a lot of Christians over there too, Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
People, is Muslims and Christians, all getting killed. Getting killed all the time, and Trump has put a delay in it. So every Gentile should be backing him 100%, saying he's the greatest winner. But no, everybody's looking for something. No, he wants to change into real estate. This is really a sneaky colonialist trick. This is, and also disenfranchised guys across the America are always, as we poke fun of here on The Ugly Truth, that they think that Trump is an actual high member of the Illuminati or something like that. And this is a trick.
Yeah.
He's a 1,000-degree Freemason, and these are all his buddies, whatever. Don't be fooled. You know, after years of Alex Jones and David Icke and all that stuff, that's a real thing. People, that's another thing. And that sort of seeped over into a lot of people, your ordinary Democrats in particular. Like, there's nothing we can do. Trump's a jerk. what's behind this. They just are looking for reasons to hate him. And, you know, but it's interesting. Some people like Martha Raddatz or whatever, she's like, no, this is, if Trump pulls us off, he's great. So there is some things like that happen. Also weird things like the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur or whatever, is sort of saying, oh, this is good. At least some of the MAGA has turned on Israel and stuff. It's sort of interesting that things have developed like that, because Trump has decided to persevere and go for this. And, but the shame of it all is just the Gentile world, the Goy world, the cattle people, the sheep people, whatever. They just don't see a good thing when it's coming, and they should just be backing him 100% to create some resistance to this genocide.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say, you know, let me just add to the tragedy of this, Stas. Okay, so this thing that the president just did, folks, this would have been a done deal 4 years ago. Okay, this is what the president was planning to do 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago, this year, folks, that we started making commentary on the website, noting how the neocon element in America and really throughout the entire world, how they were dead set against him, and how, you know, he just couldn't get a break with the Jews, no matter how far he bent over backwards and forwards for them. And so we could see that there was something going on here, that there's something in play here that's unusual. Okay, there's something about him that they don't like. And it was at this point, because as I've said before, folks, you know, I couldn't stand Trump before. When he threw his name into the ring 10 years ago, I just recalled, you know, the way he had treated Pat Buchanan back in, I think it was 96, calling him a neo-Nazi and a Hitler lover and all the rest of this stuff. And I just said to myself, what a jerk, you know. I mean, this guy is, he's just, you know, more of the same. But nevertheless, when I could see the way that the Jews, and especially that particular element of Jewry that dragged us into the Middle East wars after 9/11, I said, okay, there's something going on here. Okay, we need to figure out what it is about him that they don't like. Okay, why are they pushing for Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Hillary Clinton and everybody else? And so it was through this process that I started looking into him, into the president, not that time, but into Donald Trump. And all of a sudden, I find out that this guy hates war. He hates war. He considered the invasion of Iraq and the destabilization of the Middle East to be the worst foreign policy blunder of American history. He was saying all of these things going back sometimes 40 years, folks. We've mentioned this interview that he gave with Manhattan Inc. magazine, where he said that the biggest threat that we face in the world is nuclear weapons in the hands of religious fanatics. That was what he said. Now imagine, folks, for a moment, you're one of these people in Israel, and, you know, your nuclear weapons are the most important thing in the world, because this is the machinery with which you're going to incinerate the world, according to what, this violent deity that you worship known as Yahweh has told you to do. So here you have this guy, this businessman. Everything he touches turns to gold. Every deal that he is involved with is, the deal of the century, quote unquote. And he's talking about getting nuclear weapons out of the hands of these fanatical countries, especially fanatical countries in the Middle East. Now, he didn't say Israel specifically, folks, but he did say religiously fanatical regimes. Okay. So getting back to the original point here, Stas, is that all of the signs were there from the very beginning. Okay. And nobody got it. Nobody got it. They immediately, and they continue to this day to not get it. Nobody seems to be able to process what has just taken place, with regards to the ceasefire and the return of these hostages and all the rest of it. They're unable to process all of this in an intellectual way because for the last 10 years, they have lived in this corner into which they've painted themselves with all of their statements and all of their positions. And none of this had to happen, folks. All of these people, these pundits and writers and commentators and analysts and all of the rest of that, they helped drive, they helped steal the election in 2020. They helped Benjamin Netanyahu run Trump out of office in 2020 so that the events of October the 7th could take place. So, folks, again, I know this is a regular weekly thing here, you know, where we take the pundits and other people out to the woodshed for a little disciplinary action. But you know what? All of the suffering that has taken place, especially in Gaza and in the Ukraine and other places, and all of the suffering that is going to take place demands that this occur. You know, anybody who has played a team sport, okay, they know what it's like when you lose the game because of one idiot who doesn't give it his all. He does something stupid, you know, he makes a bad throw, makes a bad catch or whatever, and he loses the game for everybody. And he pays for it later, okay? They don't come in and say, oh, it's okay, man. Yeah, you know, you did that really stupid thing and made us lose the game. Even if it wasn't his fault, if it's the quarterback that got clobbered, okay, even though he's running around the field trying to get that throw, they still, it's still on his shoulders, okay? And all of these people, folks, and again, the only reason that we bring it up is because I get emails from people and they say, well, so-and-so is saying such and such and this guy is saying that. And so folks, stop eating at their dinner table. Okay. They helped bring this disaster about. They helped run the president out of office in 2020. They set the stage, helped set the stage for what happened on October the 7th. Okay. Now, Stas, you go ahead and let's hear what you have to say about that. And then I want to touch on this thing that you brought up involving Smotrich and Ben-Gvir.
Excellent. Max Blumenthal, I guess the point man of the supposed anti-Israel left or left of Israeli intellectuals.
That's a good one.
He's saying that something, what you just sort of said, there's a YouTube called Great Power Politics that's pretty interesting sometimes, and he's going through how one Zionist billionaire controls the U.S. He's talking about Adelson's wife, Miriam, and that they knew the deal was ready in 2024, but millions died. But he's not exact, I haven't had time to check out the whole thing, but I don't really think he's emphasizing, what Trump is up against. And nobody ever does that. I don't know what it is. They have all these things they talk about. Oh, the Zionist power is so great. And then when Trump doesn't do something, like he's a sellout or whatever. And they never really talk about enough about what he has to do with his base to get stuff done and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How we talk about virtually on every podcast, how he cannot come out straight with the American people or he'd be done. I mean, you know, he'd be impeached.
No. I'm sorry to interrupt you for the 1 millionth time. Okay. But I had to explain this to somebody the other day. Okay. If we want to compare the Jews to like a group of rabid dogs, and I think that that's a perfectly fitting comparison, who are just waiting for the opportunity to start barking, okay? What do? You don't do something to get them to start barking by saying something inflammatory or truthful. You throw them meat. You throw them you know, raw flesh like he did at this speech at the Knesset, where it was nothing but opium for their egos. Okay. So these people who just don't seem to get it as to why the president is forced by circumstances beyond his control to engage in this kind of, you know, just, you know, I don't know how he does it. I honestly couldn't, one of the listeners said, hey, have you seen the speech yet? And I said, no, I can't. I've read it, but I can't. And they said, well, why? And I said, you know why? And they said, why? I said, because watching with my own eyes, this room full of these horrible Jews pretending to be happy at everything that he's saying about the hostages coming home and the end of the war and the end of greater Israel, folks, because that really is the bottom line here. I just can't. It's like watching these horrible scenes of Palestinian kids that have just been blown to pieces. So, anyway, I'm sorry, Stas, to have interrupted you for the 1,000,000th and first time. So go ahead with what you were saying.
No, well put. This is the sense. It's just really alarming sometimes that some people don't come closer to what we're discussing on here. Honestly, defending the United States sovereignty and things like that, but realizing the power is real. I just think it comes from years of just lazy thinking, or a lot of people like, yeah. Well, BlackRock, for instance, is the latest thing. They run the world. And I've often shocked people on the side talking to them like those guys would be shaking in their boots if they did anything to really upset people like
Benjamin Netanyahu. Yep.
And Benjamin Netanyahu, the man, you know, like. And there's all these things, and I think I probably said this a million times, maybe, that there's things in pop culture in the news that, or that some people think, oh, the ruling class is the real one, and this is just a side thing, and Israel is a piece of the puzzle, and there's really these top guys that are above them or whatever. And a lot of people believe that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people believe that Trump is in control of the thing, and that, oh, Israel is used as a tool in the Middle East, and a lot of people go by that. Oh, they use them as a batting ram. Or a lot of people like Niall Ferguson go, oh my God, thank God for Israel. They're a rational democracy in the Middle East, and we should support them in killing anybody they want because they're democratic, and all those other people are Neanderthals and scum or whatever. It's all these, there's a myriad things that get in the way of the simple thing Trump's trying to do with his deal-making ability, basically save the world from nuclear war. It all goes back to that.
Yeah, and by the way, Stas, just in case you didn't know, which is highly unlikely, but he even said that, folks, in the speech. He said that Witkoff effectively put an end to World War III. Now, many people will say, oh, well, that's just Trump, you know, going over the top the way that he always says. No, folks, no. This is the same Donald Trump that was saying this 10 years ago when he was candidate Donald Trump. It was the same Donald Trump who has been saying this ever since the interview that he gave in 1985, where he is saying, look, we are on this path to World War III. With nuclear, which will include the use of nuclear weapons, and we have to do everything now, you know, expend every effort that we have in order to prevent this. And this is what I just find it amazing, Stas, that, you know, when you have conversations with people, or when you sit down and listen to people who are supposed to be experts on all of this business, that this seems to escape their notice, this business of World War III. You know, again, folks, Stas, I'm going to play devil's advocate again, like I did on the last program. Okay. We're told that Trump is owned by the Jews. Okay. Are the Jews happy that this war in the Middle East has been brought to an end?
No way.
Okay.
They are more outraged, actually, than I've ever seen them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They are furious. So do not be swayed, folks, dissuaded by any of the videos that you've seen of any of these, especially the nutcase types in Israel, who really do believe in all of this, all of the prophecies, especially of Isaiah, that the country, the nation that will not bow down before you shall be utterly destroyed. All of the things that they're saying, the smiles where they're showing their teeth and all of the rest of the things and all of the rest of that, folks, this is just part of the, this is just part of the shtick. Okay. And that's what makes all of this so dangerous. And the notion that they're not going to lash out, that they're not going to do something to throw all of this, toss all of this into the air, folks, is just not possible. Now, I want to mention something that you just brought up a minute ago, Stas, which is these two nutcases, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. This is something to keep in mind, folks. Even if Netanyahu is pinned, even if Trump has him completely boxed in and jammed up, Netanyahu is not the only one with hired killers in his service. Okay. Remember, Ben-Gvir is the equivalent of the director of national intelligence, okay, or national security advisor, whatever. Okay. He has hired killers working for him. He controls the police forces in Israel. And I'm sure he has spent decades accumulating around him people who think just like he does about Israel, about Jewish destiny, about Jewish power. That's the name of his political party, folks, is Jewish power. And it's nothing for him to order these elements, say, get yourself a plane ticket, go to America. I've got some work for you guys to do. Same thing with Smotrich, folks. Okay. He is the finance minister, which means he has lots of money to play with, money that can be used to finance black ops and terrorism in the United States. So even if Netanyahu has effectively been neutralized, which I don't believe is the case, even if he has, it doesn't mean that it's over, folks. You've got these other crazies who, in fact, for sure, folks, if Netanyahu were neutralized, these guys would go to work doing what Netanyahu has now been prevented from doing. But the notion, folks, that all of this is an act and a scam and a sham, and that, or even worse, one of the things somebody had left a comment on the website saying that Trump only did this deal because this is what Netanyahu ordered him to do. No, folks, no. Netanyahu does not want an end to the war. He feels that he has been touched by destiny to usher in Armageddon in order to bring about all of these prophecies, which the Jews are waiting to see fulfilled, where they wind up ruling the world. Okay. They put an incredible amount of planning into the events of October the 7th, folks, making sure that it went off just right in order to get this fire started. And now this Gentile leader, this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Gentile leader, has come forward and he is saying, that's it. You know, the world has had it. We're tired of it. And he is effectively doing what the Romans did 2,000 years ago. And as a result of this, folks, we have never found ourselves in the kind of danger that we find ourselves in today. Stas, your thoughts?
Absolutely. And before I forget, I want to point out something that you told me, that you cited, yet another thing that everybody should have been freaking out over, is that the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, didn't say this war happened October 7th. He goes 3,000 years ago.
Yep.
I don't think any leader of any kind of power or influence has referenced this, to the best of my knowledge.
Yep.
I am not aware of anybody who's mentioned this. And I could just imagine advisors briefing Donald Trump, how many hours they've had to
read our website. To read our website. To listen to our podcast.
Can you imagine the guys going, Mr. President, these people basically think you're like a Roman Empire. Imagine the meeting, and like Trump's like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, sir. That's really true. They think you're like Emperor Titus or something. He must be like, wow, that's weird. You know, at some point, I could just imagine, at some point, they must have briefed him on that. Because I don't know if he's the kind of guy that maybe knew that outright. I don't know. Maybe he is. But so that's what people don't understand. They think that, you know, that they've got to get rid of us, that they're justified to take some kind of revenge or something that happened 3,000 years ago, a war that's continued, that's on their minds, that everybody else in the Western world has forgotten about, but these guys haven't. I mean, you know, it's astounding to think about how many things have blocked the American and European people from realizing that basically these guys want to wipe out the earth. They want to destroy what they think is the Roman Empire, and thousands of scenarios that go to that. And I was just stunned to see this woman speaking. I think I saw it in this Dude Dissidents show. That's, you know, they've gone off on Trump or whatever, but they have a lot of interesting material. They showed this woman that's in charge of like a liberal thing in Israel. I think it's like basically a woke thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she was going on and on and on that it's disgusting that this peace deal came forth. Forget these olive branches and stuff. We need to take the sword to all these people. And her anger is incredible, which makes no rational sense to anybody who's rational, because they've been the ones who are the prison warders. They're the prison guards beating up people, whatever. You would think that the other people would have this kind of anger. But no, it's the ones in control, the ones dishing out the punishment that want to do it. And she was going off and it's just scary. But, you know, and again, you will meet in this country Republicans all over the place that like, I'm so glad the IDF kicks the crap out of these people. They're disgusting, blah, blah, blah. Thank God Trump is threatening Hamas and blah, blah, blah. And that's what the president has to deal with. Mm-hmm. He can't throw out all that support. What would he do tomorrow going, by the way, I can't stand you. You know, you want to kill all these innocent people. He'd lose all his support and be gone. So, I don't know. None of these people can kind of talk about that. It's hard work, I guess, nuanced. Mm-hmm. And also it's not the kind of thing that you can easily cheer on because it's depressing, but is what the Gentiles are going to have to face at some point. The new nuanced analysis of this thing to save everybody has got to be looked at some point.
All right. On that note, Stas, let's talk about a few important news stories here that have appeared in the last couple of days. First one comes from Barak Ravid. Again, folks, those of you out there who follow this program know that you need to read his book. Okay. It's not enough to simply watch YouTube videos or listen to podcasts. You have to read books. And his book, Trump's Peace, anybody who has any doubts about the nature of the acrimonious relationship between Netanyahu and Trump, you need to read that book and you will understand exactly that when these guys are smiling at each other and shaking hands and saying how much they really love each other, that is not the nature of the relationship at all. Anyway, Barak Ravid is basically the gold standard, folks, when it comes to inside information dealing with Israel. And especially with regards to the relationship between the White House and Netanyahu. He wrote a piece, interesting piece, entitled To Get Ceasefire Deal, President Trump Promised to Prevent Israel from Resuming the Genocide in Gaza. I'm just going to read a few lines from this. As negotiations for a Gaza peace deal approached the finishing line, Donald Trump provided his personal guarantee as president that he would not allow Israel to abandon the peace deal and to resume the war. Two U.S. officials with knowledge of the event revealed in a briefing with reporters. Okay, the officials said that part of Trump's guarantee was the establishment of a U.S.-led military task force to oversee the ceasefire and to address any violations. Now, notice, folks, not violations from Hamas, but violations from Israel as well. Now, why is this important, folks? Well, as it turns out, we have moved 200 troops now to the Middle East, to Israel, to be precise. And they're there to, quote unquote, coordinate and to make sure that everything goes smoothly. But it's actually much more detailed than that, folks, because those 200 troops, and we can all rest assured, folks, that this is just the first of many troops that will be going into the region. They answer directly to the head of CENTCOM. Okay, CENTCOM, folks, is the is that branch of the U.S. military that deals with the entire Middle East. Okay. And the head of CENTCOM, I believe he's a Vice Admiral Bradley Cooper. He was there in Israel for these ceasefire talks personally. Okay. So the president is making it known to Netanyahu and to all of these other religious terrorists that it's not just going to be words that are used. Okay. We know that the president is willing to back up his plans for bringing an end to all of this genocide of Gentiles by offering the Qataris a mutual defense agreement. Okay. So it's much bigger, folks, than the silly stories, the fairy tales, and the really childish analysis that you're going to hear on a lot of these podcasts. Okay. The president is serious about this. He's serious about this, and not because he wants to be remembered as a great guy, but because he understands how much danger we're all in. He understands, folks, that the Jews are out to set the world on fire. He made this fact plain when he stated in this speech that Steve Witkoff deserves the credit for bringing an end to World War III. Okay. The president understands how big all of this, the plans for all of this are. And by the way, you know, you brought up Miriam Adelson, Stas. Did you happen to catch what the president said to her in his speech?
That I missed. Sorry.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. So okay. The Jews, they haven't started screaming about it yet, okay, but they will. Or else they're like holding back, saying, we can't do this. You know, that speech was just so, it was so golden. And if we start complaining about it, who knows where it's going to end up. But he acknowledged Miriam Adelson there in the audience. And he said to her, he said, Miriam, you know, you spend so much time in America and so much time in Israel. Which country do you love more? Okay.
Oh.
So he did this in a friendly way, but you know what he was trying to get across, folks. The point he was trying to make to his base of supporters back home. Okay. Which is that the Jews, of course, they don't have divided loyalties, folks. They don't. They have one loyalty, and that's to Israel. Anyway, Stas, your thoughts about Bradley Cooper, Admiral Bradley Cooper, CENTCOM, the 200 troops, and the fact that we are in the beginning stages, it would appear, of a repeat of what happened 2,000 years ago when the Romans moved into Judea to bring order, law and order to the region.
Well, we definitely could be looking at another version of the wars of Josephus going on right now.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's U.S. troops in the area, and there's a lot of people that are hell-bent on red heifers returning and the rebuilding of the temple and the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and all these type of things, that they see them as blocking them from their true destiny. that they must achieve, that people lose sight of. I keep referring to these generalist ideas that there's a super black rock that control everything, and people, they miss the significance of all this, or just that it's all a show and Trump and Bibi are friends. And we're going to see stuff like that. Right now, the two guys are doing things like Trump is like, pardon Bibi, he's a good man, Herzog.
Right.
I want a Bibi statue or something. He's going to say weird. I wouldn't be surprised if and then Netanyahu made an AI video showing Trump get the Nobel Prize. And the two guys hate each other, but they're faking. And for all I know, there could be weird stuff. Netanyahu could be saying, hey, by the way, I got these other guys breathing down my neck, Donald. You know, they want the death. I don't know what they're saying.
Well, let me give you my take on it, okay? The president saying this, you know, hey, can't we just pardon him, you know, and Bibi, I love this guy and all the rest of it. He's planning to get rid of Netanyahu. Okay, make no mistake about it. When in that interview with Ravid, when he said F Bibi, okay, and when he said Netanyahu should be impeached, should be removed from power, okay, that opens up an entire universe of possibilities of what the president is planning to do. Now, he knows that as long as Netanyahu remains in power, that the threat of World War III and Armageddon is real. Okay, every second that he remains in power, we are 1 second closer to this. So, of course, he's going to say these things. But mark my words, folks, and I think Stas will agree. The president has people on the ground and is moving the levers of power there in such a way to get Netanyahu out of power. What they want is a compliant, cooperative, obedient Jew, just like they did with Herod the Great after they declared sovereignty over Judea. They put a client king in control of the region who would do what the Romans wanted. And so it's going to be a Yair Lapid or some other quote unquote reasonable Jew, more, you know, towards the center or to the left. Because Netanyahu and then that group of people, they're just, they are living, breathing atomic weapons, just counting down to zero. So do not be affected, folks, by the nice things that the president might have said and might say in the future about Netanyahu. He is digging away, excavating away at the foundation of Netanyahu's political base in order to collapse Netanyahu's power and to get him out of office. That's what I see. As long as Netanyahu remains in power, we're never going to have pulled the plug on World War III and Armageddon. Stas, your thoughts?
Yes, and that's yet another thing that you cover on Tut. That
boo!
They don't go into, which is actual politics in Israel. So guys are like, yeah, Israel controls everything. We're all puppets. But, you know, Trump could make a single phone call and end this. And they're saying stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. For whatever reason, they don't. I mean, I can understand why they're not going to go in great detail about politics in Israel. But at least these pundit guys should break down the generalities of how it affects this situation. But they don't. They go always right to Trump, it seems. Or there's a lot of guys like John Mersheimer, is kind of, a lot of guys are like he's like, oh, Israel is going to collapse. They're going to collapse and they're going to fall. That to me is a little far-fetched too. They still got a powerful military. They still got the lobby. They're in the game fully. So I don't know. It's like these blanket things all the time. No detail. And then you go into it all the time, and I don't, they go very little into that stuff. So Of course, Donald Trump is looking to work opposition leader against Netanyahu to at least buy us some time.
Sure.
And stave off this Armageddon scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what that they will admit that that's what he's a master of. Getting in a room, sizing it up, playing people off against one another.
Yep.
And use it to advantage. We rather humorously covered the fact that Sarah Netanyahu was hanging around Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is she a great person? No way. But Trump is seeing what he can glean from her, get information from her, which is the way to do it. And is the reason why, as we've talked about 1,000 times on here, that why they freaked out when Trump would get into office, because they knew he'd be able to throw back a lot of the types of dirty tricks that they do, the types of alliance breaking and building and all this stuff that has somehow, you know, I mean, the guy is superhuman and he comes back after 4 years of not being president. Somehow he gets back in. It's astounding. And unfortunately, the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's assassination, ironically, put Trump back in the game. I think they had him on the ropes with all this talk about the Epstein files that many of his supporters were hoping to be unleashed. And thus, that's why you see every Democrat, after they complain about Trump, they'll say, release the Epstein files.
Right.
And now it looks like Netanyahu is reluctant, at least for the moment, to have his guys do it, because Trump will counter with the who really killed the beloved Charlie Kirk, which could easily lead him into revisit Jonathan Pollard's robbing of American intelligence, USS Liberty, even 9/11.
Yeah.
Even really give him the room to tell the
And
American
October 7th. And don't forget, October 7th. I mean, if there's one thing that the president could threaten to reveal to the world, okay, 9/11, limited damage. USS Liberty, very limited damage. JFK, limited damage. But October the 7th, if Trump said, you know, Bibi, and actually, I'm just going to throw out one of my theories, okay, as to why the president got the kind of applause and support that he did in that den of vipers at the Knesset. I think that he probably told Netanyahu ahead of time. He said, listen, there are two speeches that I can give. Okay. The first speech is to talk about what a new day has dawned and how there's peace and how you're a great leader, how much I love Israel and how much the Jews are God's chosen people. And, you know, those who bless thee, curse thee, blah, blah, blah. That's the one speech I can give. The other speech that I can give is to talk about what I knew as president during my first term about you personally, Benjamin Netanyahu, and how you were planning to bring off October 7th, and that you, through one of your loyal followers, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, sent the FBI down there to get the documents. That's the other speech I can give. So what I need from you, Bibi, is to talk to every stinking member of the stinking Knesset and tell them that they better put on their best smiles and applause and everything else. Otherwise, I'm going to give the other speech. It's going to be like what you do at the UN General Assembly every year, where you hold up pictures of bombs and you hold up pictures of this and pictures of that. I'm going to come with a lot of visual aids that I retained during my first term. And that's the conversation we're going to have. So you make sure you get all of your people in there, including Smotrich, who's plotting to kill me as we speak, to make sure that they're clapping and they're smiling and that I get a hero's welcome. I think that's how he got the applause that he did at that speech, Stas, is that he, once again, he put Netanyahu into a corner and he said, listen, we can do this. We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. I think that's what happened. Stas, your thoughts?
Oh, very interesting. And now we're talking about things that if he reveals the truth about October 7th, could shake up people in the IDF. I'm not saying, but some will.
Mm-hmm.
Coupled with the fact that you've got U.S. troops in the area.
Yeah.
There, which, you know, I've heard stories of U.S. troops confronting IDF troops and otherwise and throwing down with them and stuff going on over the years. So anything could happen with those guys there. They could end up tangling.
Oh, yeah.
And
God, I hope so. God, I'm not kidding. I mean, Mr. President, yeah. If you're listening, which I know you're not, okay, I'm an old man, but I can still shoot, okay? Just give me a gun and lots of ammo, and I'll go. You don't even, you know, just give me an insurance policy so that if I die, that my wife and kids are taken care of. But I'll go. Even at my age, I'll go.
And yeah. And then they're, you know, this sounds kind of a infantile way to explain it, but they're so annoying over there, the troops could end up fighting them, you know. I know that's a weird way to put it, but you're over there protecting, and these people are going to be obnoxious to them, you know, and various scenarios like that. Really, I know, I'm sorry to such a put in a way. That's one of the many things on the table here, not to mention the building coalition that you rightly pointed to with Qatar,
mm-hmm.
and the prospect of a kind of a version of a Arab world NATO,
yeah,
to deal with the situation,
mm-hmm.
building up, which is probably the real backstory going on here. Jordan, Egypt, they know they're next on the list for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They know the situation. Qatar already saw the Israelis go into their own territory and bomb, even with a huge U.S. base nearby. So they're going to be looking to try to stave off this situation. Yet another thing that the pundits don't focus on, you know, the significance of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why everything only goes back to the doorstep of the president doing something. He can't. He's had to painstakingly move behind the scenes to try to deal with this. So they don't stop him at every turn. So with any luck, they'll be able to, you know, contain this situation somehow. I don't know. I don't even want to put odds on that, but at least there's some hope to this. At some point, it looked like in the early days of the, even when the signal gate came out, oh, I was like, every time this happens, like, oh, this must be all over for Trump. You know, they're going to impeach. Then another thing comes, all of a sudden, the Epstein thing, oh no, it's over. And now, somehow, by some type of basically a miracle, he's still in the game, which gives some measure of hope.
Yep. And I think that is literally what it is, Stas. I think that there are unseen forces involved in all of this that, you know, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, the Jews planned on killing every single Palestinian in Gaza. Okay. Netanyahu made that clear when he twice referenced the Judaic commandment to slay everything down to the suckling infant. And the only thing that has held that back has been the power of heaven. So anyway, Stas, we are at the 1 hour mark here. I think this was a fantastic and just a very interesting conversation. I couldn't have had it really with anyone else, unfortunately. It's, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day who was praising the most recent program that we had done. And they said, you know, your words, you and Stas, they are echoing through the universe. I said, well, that's a good thing, you know, that the Martians are listening and the people on Venus and Mercury and Jupiter are, because there ain't nobody on Earth listening to it. The only thing that they're listening to is that Benjamin Netanyahu is a double and that he's been put in by the White Hats in order to blah blah. Anyway, so that's but nevertheless, this was a great conversation. I thank you, we all thank you for your time, You're a great human being and a credit to the Gentile species. What do you want to tell the folks before we cut everybody loose and wait for the next time we get together?
Keep up the faith, and if the Trump people hear in this, get us a media lab.
Cold day in hell.
I mean, this seriously, this is sort of funny, but all you guys are listening to these things that both Trump and Netanyahu have been replaced by clones, and it's all a thing. You know what? I'll say this weird thing. Enjoy it for what it is, but don't believe it, please. And don't tell your friends that stuff. You know, you're enjoying hearing, by all means, it's a free country. You know, if you want to believe that these people are all really reptilians and it's but it's being handled by some type of white hat, that's fine. But read the real newspapers and real stuff for the reality and have some real conversations with people that you know and love. Don't take it too far.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that was a weird way to talk
It was it was profound and could not have been stated better.
Read that stuff as fiction and enjoy it, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can laugh about it, but don't take it seriously. Okay. It's just you know, Alex Jones just found out today, just a few hours ago, folks, how heavy a price you wind up paying by believing in fantasies. Okay. He lost his appeal and he has lost everything because of this whole Sandy Hook hoax nonsense. Okay. And it's not as if he, you know, there weren't warnings, folks. There was a small handful of people, including yours truly and the late, great and greatly missed Mike Piper, who were telling people, don't fall for this. Okay. Yeah. We know it. It's interesting. It's titillating. It sounds, you know, it's like a lollipop. Okay. It tastes really good in your mouth, but it's poison. Don't do it. Alex Jones has just found out, folks, that there is a price to pay, a very heavy price to pay by not pursuing the truth. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. We want to thank again Stas for his invaluable time and even more invaluable insight into things. And, you know, folks, take these things to heart. We don't know how much longer we'll be able to have conversations like this. We don't know. We know that our enemies have plans, folks, and these plans are not good. And we just don't know from one minute to the next whether or not the world as we know it is going to continue to function as it is. Okay? So in that whatever time remains, folks, let's use that time well. And let's make America great again by making America Gentile again, folks. Remember, folks, there is a distinct difference between us and them, something which they love to point out at every opportunity. And we, the Gentiles, we are the chosen people, folks. We are the ones who have been put on this planet in order to create the kingdom of God. And they are here to make sure that that does not take place. So let's beat them at this, folks. Let's beat them. And just as Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, go out and pray for a miracle because, no pun intended, folks, we sure as hell need it.